Amen. Good morning. Good morning. I know we're still waiting for the microphone to connect, but good morning, everybody. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Amen. Amen. Welcome to everybody who's in the sanctuary, everybody who's joining us over the internet, via YouTube or Facebook. God bless you and good morning. Hallelujah. Now, it's gotten warm outside. Thank God we made it to this day. Amen. Amen. It was cold before. Now it's warm. The seasons have changed. But the Lord has what? He has kept his house open. He has made a preacher available to us. Thank God he brought us through to this day. Amen. For those of us that have been vaccinated, for those of us who are seeking vaccination, he's kept us. He's kept us healthy, and he's brought us here. For that, we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And for those of you that are participating via the internet, your guests, you're visiting us, this is Taylor's Tabernacle in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Elder Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is technically our first Sunday of the month. So we are going to have communion. So if you're at home, we ask that you would prepare the sacraments that you have and that you've prayed over and prepared so that when the pastor comes out and we start the communion, we are ready to go. Amen. Amen. I'm going to open up with prayer, a short prayer, and then we're going to go to our scripture and start our communion service. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for this day that you just brought us through. That this day we could do this in remembrance of you. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for watching over our homes and families. Thank you for keeping these church doors open, electronically and physically, that you would be glorified and that your word would go forth. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to read our scripture that we read normally before we start, when we start the communion service. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If we could all stand in the sanctuary to honor God's word. Amen. And the word of God reads as follows. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Amen. I'm going to call up Deaconess Helena. She's going to give us our confession of faith. But understand this, as we just read the scripture, eating in an unworthy manner would mean you are not repentant. So as we don't just repeat the confession of faith, understand what is being said and seek forgiveness that you would be worthy to receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then after Sister Helena, Deacon Agamson is going to come up and pray over our sacraments. Amen.
Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, in word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and me. Our Father and our God, thank you for keeping us and allowing us to see one more first Sunday. The Sunday where we set aside to remember your great sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So as we ready our hearts and minds to observe your Lord's Supper, we ask that you bless the sacraments that have been prepared. Lord, we ask for you to search us and know our heart. Remove anything that will cause us to be separated from you, so that we may partake in this communion in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would, make available the wafer out of your cups. You're joining us from your home. Whatever you have set aside this Sunday morning, bread, crackers to represent the Lord's body. But I ask that you would gather it now and just lift it up to the Lord. The night on which Jesus was betrayed, the Bible tells us that he took bread, the unleavened bread, and that he blessed it, and that he broke it, and he distributed it to all of his disciples. And he told them, he said, take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. And even as Christ did for his disciples, so I say to you, take, eat. This is the Lord's body. After the same manner, the scriptures tells us that he also took the cup. Looking at his disciples, said, this wine now represents my shed blood for you. And with it, I sign a new covenant, a new agreement, a new law between you and God. I sign it in my own blood, which has been shed for you. Drink ye all of it. Every time, every opportunity we are afforded to come around the communion table to remember, to commemorate our Lord and our Savior, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. What a privilege it is to be counted as joint heirs with Christ himself, who on Calvary's cross paid it all, paid your debt, my debt, so that we could have a right to the tree of life still planted in the Garden of Eden. Today we go from sinners to saints, from unrighteousness to righteousness. We are justified, not by our acts of valor, our acts of goodness or kindness, but we're justified by the blood of the Lamb. Today we're glad. Today we celebrate. We look forward to this day. We love all Sundays, but any Lord's Day, we can come, gather ourselves, steady our minds, reflect back in our memories, just to imagine what it must have been like for our Savior to suffer. Not for his sins, but for ours. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your great name. And we thank you this morning for your incredible plan of salvation and redemption for us. And we bless the name of your Son, the name Jesus Christ, the name above every name. And we thank you for his great sacrifice. Lord Jesus, we thank you for hanging there. We thank you for hanging there on the cross. We thank you for hanging in there with us, for the chastisement of our peace. We thank you for it. We love you for it. And we'll praise your name from this day and forevermore. And all of God's people said amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. What a great occasion for the body of Christ to come together around the Lord's table. One of the most intimate times of fellowship that we have, one with another. And so we thank God for it. We thank God for it. If you have your Bibles this Sunday morning, we're going to continue our journey through the book, the Gospel of St. Mark. I'm going to invite you to turn there with us. We're going to be in the second chapter. We're just going to look after a few verses, 23 through 28, five verses. We're going to add to the witness out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, 11:28 and 9, 28 and 29. And I don't know if we'll get there, but we'll also add Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 9th verse. I'm giving it to you up front, just in case we don't get to it on the back end. Our primary text, Matthew 2:23. And our witness will be out of Matthew 11:28 and 29, Lord willing, Hebrews 4 and 9. The first one is Mark. That's our primary text, 2:23 down to and including 28. I'm going to invite the people of God everywhere to stand with me as we read thoughtfully and diligently and slowly through the word of God. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the shewbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and how he also gave some to those who were with him. He said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.'" Amen. That's all we got to work with this morning. Let's add to the witness, Matthew 11:28 and 29, familiar passage. I ask you to turn there with me. There you'll see these words of Jesus Christ: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Learn from Christ. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Amen. Then lastly, out of Hebrews 4 and 9, again, another familiar passage. If you're there, you'll find these words: "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." Amen. Like I said, I'm just giving it to you. If we get there, we'll praise God for it. If we don't, like I said, you at least got it. Amen. To this Sunday morning, I just want to talk for the moments we have from the subject, a setup on the Sabbath. These religious leaders waited for the Sabbath to come to attempt to set Jesus up. Amen? And that's what we're going to look at this Sunday morning. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. How wonderful, how tremendous,
How so worthy of glory is your name. And it is to you that we say hallelujah. It is to your name that we give all of the glory. It is to your name that we open our mouths and that we clap our hands and that we stomp our feet at the sounding of the name of the Lord our God. We exalt the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name by which no other person can be saved except by him. And so, Lord, we praise you for the moments we have together. We come together in your embrace. We look toward the holy Mount of Zion. We ask only one thing of thee now, is that you would speak to us out of your holy hill, out of your exalted heaven, by and through your word of God. Declare unto us the truth, the principles, the wisdom, the hidden, the secret meaning to all the glorious things that you have incorporated into your plan of salvation and redemption for those that believe. Lord, we wait patiently, attentively, alert, with our senses set on edge, and hope that we would receive a word from God. Satisfy us today. Even as the deer panteth after the brook, so our souls panteth after thee, O Lord. Satisfy our longing, the thirsting in our hearts, the desires of our souls. This we ask, in Christ's name and for his sake alone. All of God's people say amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the church. I'm going to begin by reading that same passage out of Mark again. This time around, I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. Same passage, Mark 2:23. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Hey, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were also hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. Not only did he eat, but he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Amen. Western indifference toward Sabbath observance puts current day Bible readers at a disadvantage in understanding the importance of Sabbath in Judaism. Two observances above all define Jews and set them apart from other nations. They are the circumcision and the Sabbath. The fourth of the Ten Commandments instruct Jews to abstain from every kind of work since God himself had rested on the seventh day in creation. Included in the Sabbath rest were not only observant Jews, but also slaves, animals, and even vegetation, which could not be cut, plucked, or uprooted on the Sabbath. Alone of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath is rooted in the creation account and attests to the divine order of God's universe. In God's creation of all things, including mankind himself, he instituted a day in which man was to rest and honor God by following his example. During this day of rest, God would replenish and refresh mankind to resume the work cycle and continue to oversee God's creation. But after hundreds of years of rabbinical teaching, the priests had added numerous unbearable and arbitrary restrictions to God's original plan. You follow me on that? God's intention was simply for mankind to rest and to follow his example, and in so doing, honor him by obeying him. But the priest, those who were given the law, began to add to that certain requirements. They began to define what was work, what you could do, what you couldn't do, where you could go, where you couldn't go. And in so doing, they robbed the essence of what God was trying to establish. The Pharisees in today's text viewed picking grain as tantamount to harvesting, though it's not. Again, they made a rule that said it was. And harvesting was considered work, and work was forbidden on the Sabbath. Therefore, Jesus and his disciples were accused of being Sabbath lawbreakers. Throughout the previous passages in Mark chapter 2, the Pharisees have accused Jesus of blasphemy in verses 1 through 12 because he healed and forgave the sins of the paralytic man. They accused him of fraternizing with tax collectors and sinners, verses 13 through 17. And in today's passage, they accuse him of breaking the Mosaic law concerning the Sabbath. Now, in response to their accusations against his disciple, and this is just a footnote, they brought the charge against his disciples, not Jesus. And even though they accused his disciples, Jesus spoke up for them. Okay? Now, if that don't bless you, I don't know what will, but apparently it didn't bless you guys here, but hopefully somebody online got blessed for that. That when others accuse you, now we can understand the word of God. He tells us to what? Hold your peace and do what? Okay, now somebody's getting it. It took y'all a while, but hey, we got time. It's not over yet. Now in their accusation against his disciple, Jesus points them to the Old Testament account of King David and the shewbread that was in the house of God. For your reference, this is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verses 1 through 6. And it was there that the priest of that time, Ahimelech, gave the unleavened bread which had been in the presence of God and was reserved exclusively for the priest, how he gave that bread to David and his men as they were on the verge of starvation and on the run for their lives from King Saul. In 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, verse 10, we learn that Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for David and received approval from God to give him not only the shewbread, but he also gave David Goliath's sword, which was kept in the temple. Now, if King David and his men could eat that sacred bread when they were in need and hungry, how much more could the son of David, right? This is where my real church gets it. How much more could the son of David and his disciples do also the same on the Sabbath? That title, son of David, is more than merely a statement of physical genealogy. It is also a messianic title given to Jesus Christ. When people referred to Jesus as Son of David, they meant that he was Israel's long-awaited deliverer and the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. All of the Old Testament prophecies found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the Son of David. The Pharisees understood exactly what the people meant when they called Jesus Son of David. But unlike those who cried out in faith, the Pharisees were so blinded by their own pride, they could not see what others, namely tax collectors, sinners, and sick people, they couldn't see what others could see. And that was that here was the promised Messiah they had all been waiting for all of their lives. God had come in human form, and as the other title for Jesus, they call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Here he was, live and in person. And they didn't see him. Didn't see him, couldn't see him. They disdained Jesus because he would not give them the honor that they sought and thought they deserved. So they hated him and plotted to destroy him by setting him up on the Sabbath. That's what they were after. Now I'm down in verse 27, and we're almost out of here. Here it is. And they said to, and so they say to him, Jesus says to his accusers of him and his disciples, he says this statement to them. He says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now we know that's correct simply because in the creation account, humankind, mankind is created on the sixth day, and it's not until the seventh day that he institutes the Sabbath. So just in a matter of order, man comes before the Sabbath. But God, in realizing what he has created in mankind, and recognizing while he was made in the image and likeness of God, he yet was not God. Are you following me? And this clay pot that he had created and given life to while being in the image of God, but not like God, would require some rest, would require rest in order to meet its maximum potential. Are you with me this Sunday? If you're with me, look at somebody and say, you better get some rest. That's why God put it in the divine design of his creation. He said, I'm going to create me a man, but I'm going to create for the man a day of rest. With that one sentence, Jesus turned the religious paradigm of the Pharisees and religious leaders of his day upside down. Why? Because the Pharisees thought it was their job as the priest and as the religious leaders of Israel, watch it, to tell the people how to keep the Sabbath. He thought that was their job. To institute rules and regulations and policies that were to instruct the people how they should keep the Sabbath. Jesus comes along and said, no, you got it wrong. Really, God created the Sabbath to keep the people. So that the people, mankind, his creation, would not wear out. Whether you know it or not, in God's original design for Adam and his sons was that they were to last throughout all eternity. Death was not in God's plan. Not for the man he created. But in order to sustain them for that unlimited amount of time, he gave mankind a day of rest. And here the Pharisees come and they rob the people of God of their rest by putting in all of these rules and regulations. So Jesus comes and say, guys, all of these years, you've been doing it wrong. You've been trying to tell the people how to keep the Sabbath. He said, you misunderstood. I created the Sabbath so that it would keep the people and that they could stay in right relationship with me and with divine order. Then he also told them this, and I'm finished. I'm down at 28. Here it is. You guys are wondering how I got there so fast, but I'm there. He says, not only that, not only did you get the Sabbath wrong, he concludes by saying, you have gotten me wrong. So you got me wrong because you have failed to realize that the Son of Man is also Lord over the Sabbath. And here Jesus Christ makes a clear identification to his own deity. Because the Sabbath, being a part of the creation story, all of which is attributed to God himself. And so for Jesus to say that he is Lord, meaning over or above the Sabbath, is to imply that he is God himself. Look at somebody and say he's Lord. Here it is. So he says the Son of Man is also Lord over the Sabbath. He is the only one who can give Sabbath rest to those that trust in him. And see, with the Sabbath, it wasn't only that man was to rest from their labor, but it was an opportunity that during their resting, that God would refresh them. God would renew them. God would replenish them while they sat idle, still, relaxed. God was working in divine order to replenish the people of God. That's why he says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Listen what he says. He says, I, the Lord of the Sabbath, shall give you rest. And in verse 28, rest is related to physical rest. Then he says in 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? Because I am gentle and lowly in heart. And here it is. He said, you will find rest for your souls. Verse 29 is referring to spiritual rest. So in Christ Jesus, we find not only physical rest, restoration, being re-energized in our physical bodies, but we also experience a physical rest where even as our outer man is renewed and restored, so is our inner man spiritually. We are refreshed spiritually. We are renewed spiritually. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's why the Hebrew writer picked it up and said, there remains another rest, a spiritual resting place, a spiritual place designed by God for all those that believe in Jesus, all because He's Lord over my Sabbath. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. I'm done with it. Here it is. So here's my message to my church. It's simply to remind you that Jesus Christ is your Sabbath. My job this morning was to put a post-it note on your forehead and remind you as the people of God that the Lord is your Sabbath. Your rest is in Him. Your salvation is provided by Him. Your strength is renewed by Him because He is your Sabbath rest. Somebody shout yes. Watch this. Not only is He your rest, He's your restoration. Not only is He your restoration, He is also your Redeemer. Not only your Redeemer, but He is your peace. Not only your peace, He's your purification. Not only your purification, He is your protector. Not only your protector, He is your help, your hope, your great high priest. All because He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord over my Sabbath. Somebody shout yes. So the next time you feel weak, the next time you feel weary, remember what God put in the divine order of creation. It may be time to take a Sabbath. It may be time to sit back and allow God to replenish you, to renew you, renew your mind, renew your spirit, renew your body, because He is Lord over my Sabbath. Somebody give the Lord a praise. He's my Sabbath, my salvation, my soon coming King. Woo! Thank God for Jesus. I'm glad I get a day of rest. I'm glad I get a day to sit back. I'm glad that He's Lord over my salvation. I'm glad He's Lord of my strength. Touch three people and tell them it's time for a Sabbath. It's time for a Sabbath. Here it is. Here it is. Let me tell you. In creation, He gave him the Sabbath. But when Moses came along and put the Sabbath into the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, it became not only a day of rest, but a day of worship. I wish I had my real church. He said, on this day, I want you to rest from working, but I don't want you to stop praising my name. So if you're in need of a Sabbath rest, I just want to remind you, while you're taking it easy, laying back, chilling out, don't forget to give your God some kind, any kind of praise. Somebody give the Lord a praise right now. Yes. This is what I do on my Sabbath. I praise the Lord. I bless His name. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will praise you. I will. My body may be tired, but in my spirit, we are renewed day unto day. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting better. I'm getting more strength in my spirit, in my spirit. Yes, my Sabbath. It's my Sabbath. Yes. 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 I'm going to give you this. That rest was always promised. And Israel never found or entered in to that rest. Throughout their history, they had periods of rest. And that rest was primarily from their enemies. They entered into the promised land, rest. David established his kingdom, rest. Solomon comes and enlarges the footprint of Israel, and he had the reason he was able to do it because for numbers of years he had what? Rest. No wars. So while he didn't send his men out to fight, he sent them out to build. And they enlarged the territory of Israel. Why? Because they had rest. And every period of rest came to an abrupt end because the people of God refused to acknowledge the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm going to give you this. It'll help you unlock in your Bible. We talked about Christ, the Son of David, being the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. And one of the last fulfillments will be to bring all the people of God one day, finally, into that rest. Not rest in the Middle East. Not rest from your enemies. Not rest from political attack. But that rest that the Hebrew writer is referring to and to which Jesus Christ is Lord over, he said, there remaineth a rest. He said, there's another rest. And they haven't gotten it yet. But it's not until the day when the Lord of the Sabbath enters into glory one last time. And he brings with him his chosen and chaste bride. And they enter into the Father's kingdom. And at that point, he allows him and those that he had brought with him to enter into the eternal rest. That's Hebrews 4 and 9. That's the rest he's talking about. And that is the rest that we will share in if we trust in his name. That's the Sabbath that he reigns over because his Father gives it unto him. And I don't know about you, but that's the rest I want. I don't need rest from my enemies. I don't need rest from my creditors. What you need to do for your creditors is pay them. If you pay them, they'll give you rest. The rest I need and the rest I want is the rest that yet remains waiting. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. And it is a place of what? Rest. Well, all we do is praise God all day long. We add our voices to the voices of the heavenly choir. We clap our hands and we exalt the name of the Lord God forever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but I'm living for that rest. I don't need a weekend off. I don't need a week's vacation. I'll get that. And yes, I do got to rest my body. That's why he put it in there. But there remains another rest. Will you live for that? Will you give your life to Christ? Don't allow the devil to set you up and steal your Sabbath. That's what he'll do. He'll get you so focused on rules and regulations and you can't do this and you can't do that, you can't wear. And you'll be so concerned about the rules of the Sabbath, you'll forget the Lord of the Sabbath. And all he said was, take my yoke upon you. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden, well, I don't want to kill you. I want to give you rest. But you got to be able to trust me with your life, the life of your family, the life of your business, the life of your church. Give it to me! So I'll make an exchange with you. You give me that, and I'll give you what I'm Lord over. That which is under my authority to give. And that is Sabbath rest. Make the exchange with God today. If you're viewing us this Sunday, this is the opportunity. This is the high point of the service. It's where I come face to face with the Word of God. It's where I come eye to eye with the Lord of the Sabbath. Knocking at your door today. Will you? How about you? You. How about you? He says in the word of God, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Why not let the Lord of the Sabbath into your life today? Why not receive the rest that he's promised and gave his life for you. I invite you to accept Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Lord over your Sabbath, your salvation. Scripture says the Lord is my strength. He's Lord over your strength. Give your life to Him today. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the privilege we've had to gather around the Word of God. We thank You for the people of God, those that have already accepted You and those that You are calling even now. Holy Spirit, arrest them. Make them subject to Your will and to Your authority. Give them a measure of faith to receive the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and to accept the Lord of the Sabbath as Lord over their life and their affairs. Holy Spirit, we thank You and we praise You now for adding to the kingdom of God. We bless You, we glorify You, and we exalt Your name. Amen. Tell the tabernacle, I thank you. As always, I appreciate your time and your attention to the Word of God. Service back in the hands of our Deacon Todd.
Amen. Amen. Good word, Pastor. Good word. For those of you that are in the sanctuary or maybe watching on the internet, you stumbled on us or you think you stumbled on us and you listen to that word and you wonder, what does it mean to be saved? Well, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believeth in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. And there's a short prayer that I would like to give to you that if you can say this wherever you are, your living room, at home, just say, Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that His shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen. If you accepted that call to salvation, you are on the right path. And we ask that you would contact us. I'm going to give you the information for our website that you reach out to us and we will reach out to you. You can reach us. You can visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com or you can go to the contact us link, and check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian. And leave us a short message along with your contact information and someone from our church staff will reach out to you. Also, you can call the church. You can call the church reach out to us and also for prayer requests. And you can call the number, which is 215-748-4578. If you're seeking salvation, we'll reach out to you. If you're seeking prayer, we'll reach out to you. So you can go to the website or call the phone line. We want to help you develop your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now I'm going to call up Deacon Abrams, who is going to go through our offering, and then after that I will return and give us our announcements. Amen?
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle friends and family. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you can give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, and also the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and just follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those of us who are gathered in the sanctuary today, you will find two baskets near the side ramp, one for your tithes and offering, and one to be a blessing to our pastor and his household. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry, and I will return the service into the hands of Deacon Todd Matoy. Thank you.
Amen. I'm going to go through our announcements. The pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of our church through this live stream service, which will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live. We have started to meet to discuss when we'll also be able to open fully here at the Tabernacle. That's coming in the future. We must be mindful of the governmental regulations and what the doctors are saying. But we're headed in that direction. Thank God. Amen. Amen. But while we move toward that direction, you can still join us online. Amen. Our first announcement will be starting June 7th, which is tomorrow, through June 11th, we will begin our 5-day fast. Hey, we even got a clap in the back. Amen. I hope you're clapping at home. So for our 5-day fast, for those of you that may not know that are participating online, the first 5 days of the full week of each calendar month, we are fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So we will be meeting tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on the church conference line, where we will have a little lesson, very small, and prayer, and then we will fast during the day, and then we will reconvene on the church conference line at 6 p.m. for, again, scripture and prayer, and then we will move to the next day. Amen? For those of you that are saying, well, what is our church conference line? I need to know that number. It is 775-799-9141. Amen? Amen. And I'll be leading this month, and just so you know, this is men's month because it's June. So we are going to be looking at men of faith. Amen. For the month of June, our Bible study is on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. It is in partnership with our New Jersey-based Bible study group, which is run by Reverend Lyons and Deaconess Kim Lyons. Amen. Amen. The Google link. So again, if you've got your pens and papers out at home, the Google link is meet.google.com. Another backslash, and this is qcc-rugb-pnm. Amen? I hope you got that. But for those of you that have joined us in the past, reach out to us again. If you call that church number, the 215-748-4578 number, and say, I didn't get it. I need the link. Somebody will call you. We'll get it to you. Amen? Amen. So Wednesday nights, our pastor has been teaching for the past month. Might get something, but hey, it's coming. So it's our day to say, hey, we can celebrate. But this day and every day we can celebrate what? Our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. June 25th is our YLE Family Fun Night. Amen. We've had several of those while we've been dealing with the pandemic. There will be further information coming out on that, but prepare yourself. June 25th, Young Life Experience Family Fun Night. Amen? Amen. If you have a prayer request, I mentioned this before, I mentioned it again, you can go to our website, www.taylorstabernacle.com, and find the prayer request page and hit the link. Or you can call here, and I'm giving the number again, 215-748-4578.
4578. Amen? Amen. Also, with regard to the YouTube, you can hit subscribe to make sure you can catch every single sermon on a regular basis. Amen? I got one clap for that, too. Amen. Amen. I know I'm getting a lot of claps at home, right? Amen. Amen. So that concludes our announcements. Now let's do one final clap for those in the sanctuary, for the one that God anointed to deliver that good word to us. Amen. Our pastor.
God bless you, Taylor. Shall we all stand? Great is the Lord's faithfulness towards us. Let us look to heaven. Father, we thank you again for another Lord's Day that you have met us here in this place and at this time. We thank you for renewing our strength. We thank you for redeeming our soul. And we thank you for the rest that is awaiting all of us who trust your name and long for your appearance. So go with us now, Holy Spirit. Stand by us. Fight for us. Stand up strong in the heart of the believer everywhere. This is our prayer request, and we make it known. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation. See you Wednesday night.